Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Who's here tonight to actually just have a light-hearted conversation with the Lord and His Word? Okay, because I honestly believe that there is something that the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. And we're actually going to come at it pretty strongly tonight. We started out singing these songs tonight that were all focused around how the Lord is worthy of all of our praise and all of our attention and all of our affection. And we started to sing some of the lines of these songs, and they're postured from this position of John in the book of Revelation. And out of that book, he actually begins to speak and begins to declare what he's seen. He has seen Jesus in the flesh in his lifetime, but he is in this space where he is caught up in the spirit, and he begins to see Jesus rightly. Not like human flesh, but Jesus rightly being enthroned in heaven. Have you ever read the book of Revelation? Some may be here tonight and maybe you've never heard of Jesus at all. I would just encourage you tonight to open up your heart to him and receive of something that he wants to give you tonight. Because I believe that every one of us here starts out with this understanding and revelation that we encounter when we come to faith in Jesus. Can you remember the first time that you got saved? Can you remember the moment you made a decision to follow Jesus? That moment is a profound moment in many believers' lives. And for many of us, we can recount that moment where we responded in faith, in a prayer, and responded in our hearts to say, I open up my heart to Jesus. Do you remember it? You might remember the passage of scripture that it comes from. I want to read to you tonight from Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through to 13. You can follow along on the screens, and it says this. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and your heart. This is the word of faith, which we preach, in brackets. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And every Christian said, Amen. And then it says, for with one the heart believes unto righteousness, and with one the mouth confesses and is made up unto salvation. And for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jews and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I share this idea with you tonight that how you view the Lord actually matters? Because many of us will come to a point of faith and we believe in Jesus and we have a moment where our life has changed and transformed, and often there's a confession of our mouth which we lead you through as a part of a response to faith in Jesus, and you'll get the opportunity to do that tonight at the end of a service. But one of the big things that takes place is how you view God as a result. Because when you view him as your savior, you will see him as a God who's here to serve you. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's a problem if that's the only way you view him. Because Jesus is not just your savior. The Bible says here that he came and those who call upon his name will be saved. That word saved is sozo in the Greek. And it implies this, that he came to save, heal, and deliver. But the word savior in scripture and in the Greek is the word sotar. And it literally means the same thing. It means to deliver, to rescue, to preserve. And there's this idea that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he became our savior. He saved us from sin and death and separation. Who's grateful for that? It's amazing what we receive of that when we get saved, but that's not where we're meant to stay. Because he was not just our savior, but he is our Lord. And the word Lord is this word kairos, which means To he to whom a person or thing belongs. Did you know that you belong to the Lord? Did you know that the Lord calls you his own? The word actually means that he has power to decide over our lives. He's our master. Now that's a scary thought to some of us here tonight. I'm a master of myself. I do what I want to do, right? But he is our master. He is our Lord. And how we view him matters. Because if you only ever see him as Savior, he will be the one that serves you. But if you see him as Lord and you see him rightly, like John did in Revelation, sees him seated high above, it is not about you being served, but it's about how can you serve him. It changes our whole philosophy of life. When we see him rightly. See, Jesus is more than a savior to be received. He is a Lord to follow. It simply means this. It's not follow Jesus when it works for you. It's not follow Jesus when it makes you feel good. It's not follow Jesus when it doesn't cost you something. And it's not be obedient when it's comfortable or convenient. But he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. That's what I want to have a conversation with us about tonight. Because I believe more than ever that this generation that is coming through is getting a greater revelation of Jesus as Lord. Because it's not just about Jesus saves you from your sin so that you can keep going and living your life. It's actually he has saved you from your sin and wants to lead you in your life and have lordship over your life. Oh, this is a tough conversation tonight. Because there's no such thing as self-authority when you become a follower of Jesus. Because the Christian life is one of fully yielding to him. And the goal isn't to become a better version of yourself because you received Jesus. Oh, now I'm grateful, I'm kind, I'm caring. Because if you just see Jesus as a great teacher, if you see Jesus as a great healer, if you see Jesus as the guru, if you see how you see Jesus matters.
That's right.
He is your Lord. And it's not about adding Jesus to your life, it's about yielding your life to him. He doesn't just guide your life, he owns it. He owns it. Now that is such a challenge for us in today's society. Turn with me to Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, in what it says here. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Did you see the passion? Did you see over Easter what crucifixion actually looks like? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I which now live in the flesh, I live by faith. The life of following Jesus as Lord is a journey of faith. It's not just faith to believe, but it's faith to live. It's faith to die to self. It's faith to follow after him. And you know what was crazy? Is we had a couple of funerals last week, the week before, and I've been to funerals, and I've never heard a dead person speak. But do you know that most of the time, we as Christians who have received Jesus as Lord do a whole lot more speaking than we ought to do? We have a whole lot more opinions than we ought to have. We actually have a whole lot more control than we ought to have for dead people. Because he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer, it is it I who lives, but it's he who lives in me. So if you no longer live, then lordship confronts the very elements of control of our lives. It confronts our pride. It confronts our rights. It confronts our desires. It confronts our idols. It confronts our comforts and our opinions. And when we realize that when people are no longer alive, all those things are laid down. You know what we do? We tend to go, yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I give you my life. I lay it all down. But then I want my opinions. I want my control. I want my pride. And we live a life that actually is opposite to what we're being called to. Let me put it to you like this. Can I get real and vulnerable with you? Is that okay? Okay, so when I was 23, I took on a youth ministry. It was at Three Kids. And I loved Jesus and I just wanted people to know Jesus. And so I started inviting all these kids from the skate park to come to a youth ministry. As a result, that blew up and they asked me to run a youth ministry. And I started off with three kids from the community that I had and from the church community that I had. And they asked me to build a youth ministry. And I didn't know how to do that. I was in architecture and it wasn't my thing. And the Lord said, say yes. So I just said yes. Have you ever been there? Right? Like, okay, Lord, I yield myself to you because this is not what I would do. And so I said yes to this role and I'm 3 years in and the place is absolutely cranking. I've got 83 kids coming on a regular basis. Now, when I say regular, they're the ones that turn up to youth, church and life group. They're the ones that are like regular. We had 100 kids every week, but there were 83 of them that kept coming regularly in and out. And I was like, this is awesome. We're transforming this community. There's 6,500 people that live here and there's 83 young people in our youth ministry. This is amazing. And the Lord was doing great things. And I was probably a little bit like I still am today, but maybe a little different. I skated and I hung out at the skate parks with all these kids. And so I dressed like I was a skater. Some would say that hasn't really changed, but I used to like hang out at these skate parks with all these kids and so like be all things to all men that you might win some. And so I was. And we used to skate on Friday nights and we'd load up the bus and we'd bring them down and we'd rock out youth ministry. Kids would get saved. It was awesome. I loved it. And then I went to my meeting with my upline, my good old pastors who were my youth pastors previously. And they sat down and we're sitting at this table. We're having a conversation about how things are going in youth ministry and how things are cranking and it's amazing. We're celebrating all the highs and all the wins and all the things that are going on and this is awesome. And I've got this list in front of me. It's 83 kids and it's on a spreadsheet because Excel was what we use and it was awesome. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how good is God? He's doing a great work. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. So now we want to talk a little bit about you. I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, you know, I'm about 25 now, so we're 2 years in and things are happening. And they say, look, we want to have a little bit of a conversation with you. And it's a little bit sensitive, but we actually want to talk about the way that you dress. And I was like, excuse me? They're like, look, you're a woman and you probably need to begin to dress a little bit more feminine. It's like, I'll give you feminine. I was like, now, okay, Matt is a very mature 23-year-old. I was a very immature 25-year-old, okay? But I sat in this meeting, I was like, what do you mean you want to talk to me about the way I dress? And they're like, you need to dress more feminine. I'm like, well, what does that look like? And they're like, you need to wear more, you know, girly clothes, girly colours. Well, I tell you what, the flesh in me was rising. I sat at that table and I'm disgusted to tell you that I lost my cool. I said, who do you think you are? You're trying to change me. This is who I am. How dare you try to tell me that I need to change? God loves me. He accepts me the way that I am. And you can't tell me to change. And they're like, look, if you don't begin to make some adaptions here, we're going to have to ask you to step aside. I was like, you can take the youth ministry. Here's your 83 kids. You follow them up. You work with them. I bet you, and I'm literally in this raging moment. Have you ever been there? Maybe it wasn't in the exact format that I'm telling you, but I tell you what, I was ready to give the bird. All honesty, I was ready to give the bird. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is disgusting. How dare you try to change me, try to tell me I need to change, I need to do. And in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, I almost quit because I threw the list at him and said, you do it. I probably did really quit, But in that moment, the Lord stopped me and I felt the whisper in my heart You said you would do anything. It's crazy that you can be so enraged, have 1,000 thoughts going on at the same time and be having a conversation, and yet the Lord speaks. And it's as clear as a bell. You said you would do anything. In that moment, I stopped, I calmed my farm. I apologized and I said, I'm so sorry. I said, please forgive me. I'm wrong. I took the list back. I will do whatever you ask me to do. And in one moment, everything pivoted from going this way, walking out the door, to this way, completely opposite. And it wasn't because they asked. It wasn't because I thought what they were asking was even reasonable. It wasn't for any other reason than the voice of the Lord spoke to me and said, you said you would do anything. I tell you what, that's when lordship kicks in. It's in moments like that where we choose not to live according to our own flesh or our own desires or our own wants, and we actually surrender and say yes to his lordship. Did Jesus want me to change what I was wearing? No. But he wanted me to change my heart. He wanted me to change my heart. You know what I did? I went home and I went through all of my wardrobe. And I still managed to pull it out so that I still looked cool. But there was a little bit more feminine clothing in there. I even wore pink. There were some major changes that happened, not because they said so, but because he stilled my heart and said, you said you would do anything. Because at the end of the day, that's what lordship is. When he speaks, you stop and you listen. But you know what? Many of us choose not to read this. Or many of us choose to read it and bypass it and think maybe that was for somebody else and not for me. Because when lordship, the question comes knocking, the only answer is to be, you're my Lord. And I'll do whatever it takes. You know, it doesn't just start with, yes, I believe in Jesus and I confess with my mouth, but it does mean that Jesus has all authority over every part of my life. And lordship at the end of the day is dealt with once, but surrender is a daily thing. And the test of surrender actually exposes what we're willing or what we're unwilling to let go of. The question I have for us today, are you Lord, am I Lord, or is he? Now, some of you are like, oh no, I think I've got this covered, I've got this sorted. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to do a bit of work on us tonight. And I'm gonna run through a couple of things that I believe of where the test of surrender is gonna happen for you. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to a deeper level of surrender to his lordship by faith. To live in a world where we live by faith and not by when it suits me or idealism or my philosophy. Because what this says goes. So as an example, how is the Lord of all when it comes to your time? Is it your time or is it his time? Because how you use your time actually determines who's Lord. See, the world would say, well, it's yours, but the Bible says that it's his. The world would say, spend all your time on whatever you like and do best is whatever for you. But the Lord says, surrender your time. The world says live for the moment, and the Lord says live for eternity. The world says stay entertained, just keep scrolling. The Bible says fix your eyes on what matters most. See, how we use our time determines who's Lord in our life. Time is a beautiful thing. The world would tell you that your time's worth your money. But the question for me is it his time or is it your time? And how we steward our time. You ever been on your phone at night and you're like, I'll just have a quick flick and just double check on Insta before I go to sleep? And you're like, I'm going to bed early. It's like 9 p.m. I'm winning. And then you look at your phone and you're like, how did it get to 11:20? But you fall asleep reading your Bible. I told you it's going to get a little real. Because we're all here. And the enemy would seek to try and steal God's time from us. Maybe you had that alarm set to get up and spend some time with Jesus, but you got busy scrolling throughout the night and then, snooze. Oh, wow, it's 2 hours past when I was going to get up and spend time with the Lord. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. These are some of the realities that we have to ask ourselves. Is he Lord or am I? Because if I'm stewarding his time, I treat it very differently to how I'm doing my own. Or what about our talents? We've been talking about talents at the start of this year, and I'm not going to go too deeply into it, but how we steward our talents determines who's Lord. The Bible would tell you that it's stewardship of what God has given to you. The world would tell you, you own it. It's yours. Build your name. Chase a platform, get influence. The Bible says use your gifts to serve. To serve where God places you. See, when we start to break it down, all of a sudden we become aware of where is surrender at in my life? Where is his lordship at in my life? Because these things expose us. And what about your body? Here's a good one. You know, when I was a kid growing up, they had this song they used to teach us. My body's my body, your body's yours. Oh, can't even think of a song. My body's mighty but yours. You run your own body, let me run mine. Like there was this song that went, does anyone remember it being taught it at school? No, I'm that old, sorry. And so this idea was that your body is your body. Don't let anybody touch you is the aim of the game. It was like you need to run your own body. Don't let anyone touch yours or, you know, it was teaching us things. But what it did is it taught a generation that my body's my body. I do whatever I want. I grew up in a family. My parents said, you shall not get a piercing. I didn't get a piercing. But I had friends who were like, all of a sudden, they just appeared at the beach and they had this belly button piercing. And their parents were like, because, well, it's my body. You can't tell me what to do with my body. That was a funny accent. But we have these moments where we're like, all of a sudden, it's like, no, it's mine. It's mine. Yeah. Explain that. Help me understand that, because how you steward your body determines what and who is Lord. Because the world says, follow your desires. But the Lord says, submit your desires. The world would say, indulge yourself, just eat freely. But the Lord would say, practice self-control. The world would say, satisfy your craving. But the Lord would say, don't be mastered by anything. Your body's not your own. It is the Lord's. It's not about do what you feel. It's about it's his. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, because it won't be on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this. Actually, if I go back to 18, it says, flee sexual immorality. And every sin that man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Friends, your body is not your own. Your body is the Lord's, and it is His temple. It is a holy and sacred place. And if we steward it like it's ours, some of us will run wild and become large from overgratification on food. Others of us will do things to our body that the Lord would say that's not good for you. But when it's His, you're stewarding it. When it's yours, you have a I can do what I want mentality. Some of this is hard to hear today. Whew. Business, how about this one? Business, how you do business. Because the world would say, build your brand, climb the ladder. But the Lord would say, seek first the kingdom of God. The world would say, maximize your profit. The Lord says, honor the Lord with your wealth. The world says, be the best and step on anyone and over anyone to get where you need to go, to get what you want. And the Bible says, serve others. The world says, your business, you're the owner, you build your own kingdom. The Bible says, it's His business, steward it well, He'll give you more to build His kingdom. You know, some of us will even think in business, well, I'll just do that with cash under the table so I don't have to worry about trying to pay taxes on that, or, you know, and we'll push things here and there and push the envelope because that'll just work out because that can't be accounted for. And, you know, no one else is looking. The tax man's not going to see it, but he sees it. He sees it. And Proverbs 11:1 says that He hates dishonest scales. He encourages us to do business rightly and to do it His way because we're stewarding what He has given to us. It's not ours. Whew. What about our relationships? What relationships and how we treat people? Because how we treat people determines who's Lord. Relationships, you know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, 31, it says, do unto others what you would have them do to you. When I was growing up, it was the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have do to you. Now, the world's not going to treat you better because you treated them better. But God sees it and they're God's people. And when you extend that to them, you're honoring God. The world would say to you in relationships, win the argument, fight for it. But God would say, pursue peace. The world would say, leave when it gets hard, or it's too difficult, or we just fell out of love. The Bible says, be faithful and endure. In our relationships, the world says, cut people off if you don't like what they say. Cancel them. The Bible says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Here's another one. The world says, anything goes, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. God wouldn't have brought them across your path if you weren't meant to be together and, you know, you just have such a connection to one another. Jesus says, follow me and I'll lead you. The Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, do not be yoked to unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked when it comes to, is He Lord of your relationships or is He not? Oh, but maybe the Lord missed it. And, you know, I've been single for like 20 years. I mean, come on. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. He's either Lord of all or He's not at all. And I promise you this, that He is so faithful and so good and will bring into your life at the perfect timing, the right person for you. But don't be Lord of yourself. Don't be Lord of yourself and try to fix it and find someone and have a relationship with someone or even compromise with somebody. Like, allow yourself to go, no, He is Lord of my body. He is Lord of my life. He's Lord of my relationships. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. How about family? Whew. The family, how you define family will determine who's Lord. The Bible says that you've been adopted into the family of God. You're part of His family. And the world says, let us define the roles of family. And the Bible says, no, it's God who establishes order. It's God who established man and woman. The world says, let the kids just work it out. The Bible says, train a child up in the ways of the Lord. The world says, just affirm them, just encourage them, just, you know, let them believe what they want to believe. The Bible says, disciple them with love and purpose. Family, sometimes it can have the opposite effect where it becomes family first. Or actually the Bible says, God first, then family. How do we deal with some of these things? These things reveal to us where our level of surrender is at. Now, maybe a couple of these things have jumped out to you, maybe a couple haven't, but there's one more. What about our possessions and our money? Because how we hold them actually determines who's Lord. The world says, I earned it, it belongs to me. The Lord says, it all belongs to God. The world says, give if you have extra. The Bible says, give as an act of worship. The world says, money is your safety net. But the Bible says that God's your provider. The world says, chase wealth. The Bible says, guard your heart from the love of money. The world says, money is your master. The Bible says that money is a tool. See, how we view God actually determines how we view all of these things. Changes everything. Because He's just Savior. He's there to serve you and you do what you please. And you just go for the token forgiveness. Token, I do this. But when you see Him as Lord, all these things have a different perspective. And the reality is, you and I fall into these categories regularly of like, oh God, I messed that one up. I slipped. I missed it. But the Lord is allowing His voice to be the loudest voice among many voices tonight for you. See, when it comes to possessions and money, it's really quite interesting. I shared this thought with our team this afternoon before we started. I said, the Lord's been speaking to me, and it's like, you know, got all these ambitions and desires and dreams. I want to own my own house and all of these things. And it's all good. And you get your house paid off and you've got it. And you're like, I'm finally there, the final payment. Or maybe you got your car and it was like, I got my final payment and it's done. I own it. I have it. It's mine. And then the Lord comes to you and says, so now I want you to take that house which you've just fully paid for and I want you to give that to somebody else. Is he Lord or is He just Savior? When He comes to you and says, now you've paid that car off, I want you to go give it to that person over there, that single mum who needs it. These tests just reveal where our level of surrender is at. Because it's one thing to say, you're worthy of it all, so worthy of it all. From You are all things, yep. And to You are all things. Because what we do is we try to hold on. See, as these areas reveal where He's Lord, the invitation for you and I tonight is greater levels of surrender. James 4, 7 and 8 says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This word submit is the Greek word hypotasso, and it means to arrange under, to subordinate, to be subject, to be put in subject, to subject oneself to obey, to submit one's control, to yield one's admission and advice, to obey and to be subject. And lordship requires daily surrender. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit wants to help us do exactly that. Surrender isn't something that you force. It's something that the Holy Spirit forms in you. And the Holy Spirit helps us surrender in those moments where we become aware, where the Lord begins to reveal something, where maybe it's tonight through this message, maybe it's been through the week where you've had and something popped up and you did a shady business deal and now you've got this sense of like, oh. Or maybe it's that relationship that you started that you're like, oh, I know that's not what I'm meant to be entering into. Or maybe it's the way you've even tried to define who you are. Rather than seeing yourself as a son or daughter, you're choosing to define yourself as the world sees you. I believe more than ever that the Lord's call for us tonight is to greater levels of surrender. And what He reveals, He wants to heal. And what He heals becomes a testimony for somebody else. He softens our hearts. He empowers us. He renews our mind with His word. And then He leads us and produces in us what only He can. Surrender is not forced. It is literally something the Holy Spirit forms in us. And this is the greatest level of invitation to surrender.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.